This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Grief fundamentally changes who we are and how we see the world. It's painful and heartbreaking, but also transformative and magical. This podcast is about grief and loss, but more importantly, it's about life and living fearlessly. I'm Kelsey Chittick, and welcome to Moms Don't Have Time to Grieve. Welcome back, everybody, to the podcast. Today is a great day because one of the most resilient, kind, joyful, just teacher of life is a guest today. Her name is Neetha Bhushan, and she is, God, she's kind of everything. This woman is an author. She's a podcaster. She's a performance coach. She is an encourager. She is a connector. She's one of the people that I have met over the last couple of years, and I don't know that we have time on this podcast to get into how we met because I want her to talk about other things, but I am certain I would not be here today talking to you all or be as joyful and grounded as I am if it wasn't for her friendship. So, Neetha, thank you for coming.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here with you.
The reason why she's so important to me is, and I'm going to kind of sum it up because I know we don't have a lot of time, but for those of you that know my story, my husband died when I was on a trip in Jamaica. And that trip was kind of a spiritual awakening for me. And I met a bunch of amazing people. And the night before my husband died, I actually met Neetha. And we had this deep conversation about life. And we didn't tell everything about each other, but I knew that she was special. I could feel it. I could see the way she walked around the room. There was this light. And I remember thinking, she's probably just had the best life. Like, she just looked beautiful and cool and grounded. And I just assumed that life had been charming for her. Fast forward to about 2 weeks after Nate dies, it turns out she lives down the street from me in Playa del Rey. I live in El Segundo. She comes over and she sits down on my deck. And I said, you know, you just don't know what it's like to lose your husband. And she said, well, actually, I kind of do. So I'm going to pass the mic to Neetha so she can explain to you how well she knows grief and how she got to where she is now. But tell us your story.
Ooh, wow. What an intro, woman. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I feel like when I came to your home that day, there was so much because I feel like it brought me back to, you know, my adolescence and my childhood and growing up as the eldest of three kids. I was the oldest of, you know, two younger siblings. And I knew at that moment, I felt that the time that we met, I was kind of already in this loop of like, you know, the people that you meet that come into your life, they come into your life for a reason. And it's so strange and so bizarre because at that event, there was like 400 people and you and I literally just like bumped heads and we had such great conversations because we were talking about me wanting to get pregnant and having babies. And then the next day when I heard that the tragedy struck and I'm like, whoa, okay, sudden death. Oh, wow. That's like bringing back memories. And, you know, for everyone listening, so I grew up really early because at 10 years old, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. And then she lived this battle for about 6 years before the cancer kind of went in remission, and then it came back, and then it spread from her breast to eventually her lungs and her bones. But it was a very trying time because I'm, you know, Filipino and Indian, and my dad was very much this strict Indian father, and he was losing his wife. And I was 16 when she eventually passed and transitioned. And I knew that I had all of this responsibility, and tragedy would strike again a year later when my brother, who was 15 months younger than me, we were buddies. We went to high schools literally across the street. I went to Lane Tech, shout out to Lane Tech in Chicago, and he went to Gordon Tech in Chicago. And his school is an all boys school. And we were going to meet because it was my homecoming. It's my homecoming game. And I was a senior in high school. And he never made it because he collapsed in front of his school and his lungs collapsed over his heart. He had asthma. And for whatever reason, immediately a year after my mom died on my youngest brother's birthday, he decided to go be with her. So they tried to revive him 3 times in the ambulance. And he never came back. And so literally gone just like that, poof. And so that was, that was a shock to our system because we were just grieving the loss of my mom, and it just spiraled all of us into this super heavy, anguishing, deep depression of like, what is this? What is this? Why? And you know, you go through the stages of anger, and there was just anger and helplessness and just like, this is a dream. Mm-hmm. And if the dream couldn't get even worse, 2 years later, when we were just starting to pick ourselves up again, my father, we were going to our first family wedding, and we were going to show up and just be with people again. And my father had an allergic reaction to this like hair dye. I don't even know if you know the story. Yeah. And we were just getting him ready because he was getting ready to show up again to the family. And he had this allergic reaction, and basically his face swells up, and we call the ambulance, and my heart's dropping because I'm like, oh my God, no, not again. And I just had this like weird feeling like, oh God, not again. I don't want to go to this hospital. And of course it's the same hospital that my mom was at. And so it just brought so much traumatic, like PTSD, but in a big way. And after dozens of tests, they said that, they found a tumor because they needed to do routine tests. So that included a chest x-ray as well. That he was allergic to the dye, this black dye, because he had silver fox hair, looked like, you know, an Indian version of Anderson Cooper, legitimately. And, they said that he had 10 months to live, and he died 9 months to the date. And so at 19, I lost my mother, my brother, and my father. And so when I come over to your house that day and I give you my book, like Emotional Grit, I'm like, oh wow, I feel like this weird spiritual connection that we were supposed to cross paths, and that you were 10 minutes away. So it was like, okay, God, universe, you wanted me to meet her.
Yeah. Woo! I mean, it's hard for me to comprehend what you just said. I lost one person and I felt upside down for 4 years. I'm just now kind of standing back straight up, but there's so much we can talk about around that. Just there's the point that, what is this about? You know, what are the big existential questions? I of course don't find it ironic that your brother left a year later. I've heard on this podcast a couple stories of people, this one guy that I just adore, he lost his whole family. And about a month, he lost his wife and his 2 kids. And a month before his wife and 2 kids got in this car accident, she had an allergic reaction to a bee sting. And she almost died. And when they got home from the hospital, she said, you know, I remember going away, but I thought I can't leave my kids. And a month later, she died and took the kids.
Oh my God.
So it's kind of this thing about souls, and we could go into that forever. Mm-hmm. But I do encourage people to think outside the box, literally, when it comes to death and timing. Because we don't question a lot of things in life. We don't question that the sun's going to rise and that the seasons are going to come. But we sure do question death as if mm-hmm. it's bad or wrong. And I think a lot of that's because it feels so bad and it feels so wrong. But when I look at you and I look at what it has done for your soul and your heart and your leadership and what you do in the world every day, it's the most beautiful thing because it changed you. And there has to be a reason for all of this. And I don't know how to find those reasons, but I think paying attention when you're grieving is really important. To start to see the dots that are connecting so it doesn't feel so out of control. And you have some sense that, I don't know what I'm here for, but I'm here for it. And mm-hmm. there is no one who has done that more. So can you just tell a little bit about, you know, what your first 10 years were like when you didn't do the work of grief, and then what that work looked like for you and how it shows up in your life now?
Oof. Yes. So in those first 10 years, I think we were just trying to stand up, kind right. of like you said. It was like, I mean, I loved, you know, there's that passage in your book, and I know we talked about it on the Brave Table on my podcast, but there's that passage in your book where it gets me every time, where you really thought of the words, or the words just kind of spoke through you on how you were going to break it to your kids on how Nate was gone. And that gets me every time, because it was almost medicinal for me to hear, oh, wow. Yeah. Like that reckoning or reclamation of just the little girl in me that needed to hear those words. Mm-hmm. Because as a child or as a teenager, a preteen, you don't even know what you needed to hear. And I feel like you did that so well. And during that time, you know, even when we lost my mom and my brother, my dad only knew traditional therapy, like only traditional talk therapy. And that too was a taboo because he was from India, even though he was a bit progressive. I mean, he married a Filipino woman and they were, you know, they were doing their thing in Chicago. It just wasn't like, we were kind of the outcast because he was even like, all right, let's do therapy, you know? And in the therapy, it was like, draw out your feelings, draw these pictures. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Yeah. And there was just so much anger, and the way that I processed it was very so different than my brother, who's 5 years younger than me, because he was 14 and I was 19, very different. And so for me, it was like, I took it upon myself to just focus, and it was schoolwork right. and excellence and achievement, because that was really in my dad's head. That was like how I was raised. It was like good grades, achieve, and just, you'll get out of this, you know, this kind of bottomless pit that you're in right now.
Right.
And you'll get out of that dark tunnel. And that was me. I didn't want anybody to feel bad for us. I mean, cause there were talks of like us losing our home, having to live with other family members. I mean, we were just so, it was just like our world was just going to be torn up into shreds of what we knew. And for those 10 years of going through just the anguish and pain of loss after loss after loss, it was like enough.
Right.
So I'm just so grateful that we were able to sustain our home. I was able to work 3 jobs. It was about survival in those 10 right. years. And it was really survival to, sure, please the ghosts of my parents. So I became a dentist. I did all the traditional things. I was holding on to relationships that were not good, men who probably didn't treat me right at all. And it really led me to that very first awakening of myself. And it was getting married, you know, having this like first class life on every level of, you know, money and travel and all of the things. But I was just so spiritually dead, and I was just living in fear, and I was living in fear of what everybody was going to think of me. And it led me to this human who would teach me all about you know, unconditional love for yourself, because he was the opposite of that.
Right.
The complete opposite of that. I mean, talk about abuse, narcissism, sociopathic. And for me, I needed to heal this wound of abandonment, because I carried abandonment wounds for that entire season of those 10 years. And so when I radically had to make this shift of like, oh my gosh, he's going to hurt me and my brother, he's already threatened to kill us. I had to really make that change of my life of, okay, how did I get here? Because on the outside, I had all of the things. I had a thriving practice. I was barely 30 years old. I excelled in every which way on the outside.
Right.
But on the inside, I had no idea who I was. Right. I never knew about any sort of internal work for myself, nor did I ever allow myself to fully grieve the full word of grieving. I mean, I grieved, yeah, but like literally.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
And what does that look like? I think about this all the time. What is full grieving? Like, how do you fully grieve while you're in school, while you're raising kids, while you're being a friend? And then how do we toggle in and out of full grieving and life? Because grief is a full-time job to be done properly. And most people don't have time to just lay on the floor for 8 hours, and nor do you want to, because you need new neural pathways with different memories. But what does fully grieving look like, or did it look like for you after you left your first marriage?
Yeah. So so much came to the surface, because it was uncontrollable crying. It was like wailing. It was just allowing yourself to go there. And I remember, because I was a dentist, so I would talk to all of my medical friends and my doctor friends and my dentist friends. And I was like, can you just prescribe me, you know, a Xanax or whatever you guys want to prescribe me? And then they all were like, no, Neetha, you need to do this. Like, you've never done this. You've always been going 180 miles an hour. Like, you need to slow down. And at this point, like viscerally, like spiritually, I wanted to slow down. And this was when my practice was growing just immensely. And at the same time, I had to get into fears of like lawyers and, you know, all of these other just various roadblocks that were really just preparing me mentally for, you know, resilience. And like you said, my leadership, because I had no idea who I was. I was constantly that people pleaser who would do everything for everyone under the sun, because that's what that meant. And for me to go fully leaning back and telling friends, like, I don't have this. I don't have it together. Right. Like, I am a fucking mess.
Right.
I'm a wreck. And for people to come and take care of me in that way, I had never experienced that at all.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, because I think all of us, it's not just when you're grieving, but I'm a mess and I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I live in those two spots. And I think if maybe we stopped with this linear experience of grief or even life that, you know, you've either got it together or you don't, it's just not like that. And I think grief is this great teacher of how to navigate the ups and downs of life. And I think why so many people I admire have been through stuff, it isn't because I think they're so strong or they're so smart. It's because they're still standing in between falling down, right? They still have a desire to make the most of this thing in spite of and because of what they have gone through. And I don't, you know, can you share some of the practices? Because I mean, so you're a coach and there's nobody that's coached me better or reminded me about joy, but how do you, because it's not just that you're helping people become who they're supposed to be or reach their full potential. How do you not get scared about death and about now you have your own children? Help me. Because that's, and I've gotten much better, but how do you couch it all to say, like, I'm here for this. I'm joyful. I've done my grief work and I'm going to keep going and not be afraid. Cause that's really what you've taught me. It's the other side of fear. Cause once you lose somebody and you kept losing them and it's like, you start going like, is this a joke?
Like who else is going?
Who else are we taking? Right. Exactly. Who's dying? Who's dying today that I love?
You know, and honestly, I've done so much work from, you know, just seeking out different healers and different, you know, so many different kinds of modalities. And I think the biggest, you know, during the initial weight of that period, it was allowing myself. And I remember doing this. I was like, okay, I'm going to allow myself 20 minutes to grieve.
I do the same thing.
I go into the office and at this point I was a dentist, right? So before I got into the office, 20 minutes, like set the timer and I would just like bawl my eyes out and cry my eyes out and then leave, come back home and do the same thing again in the evening.
Yeah.
And so it was like dedicated time for that to release the emotions. And now what I know now about trauma processing, embodying the emotions, you know, now as a coach, and I'm kind of like teaching a lot of these practices, it was like, oh my God, it was already like, I was already doing that, you know, way back when, and to be okay in the duality of those emotions.
Yes.
Because so many people, I remember going to different like family, friends, functions and weddings and things like that shortly after my divorce or shortly after my dad died, because I just wanted to be fucking normal.
Yeah.
You know, and people didn't really know what to say because they're like, oh my God, she just lost her dad. Why is she here? Oh my gosh, shouldn't she be at home? And it's like, if you lost somebody, please, please try to go out and have fun because you can have fun. There's nothing and nobody that's going to say like, you have to be in this grief box and do not come out of it for God knows how long. Like we are human beings. And in that, to be able to have sadness with joy and, you know, and laugh at jokes, even though you're bawling your eyes out 5 minutes before, you know, that is kind of the expansion of the entire realm of human emotion.
Yeah. I love that. Cause I think I've tried to explain it, but you said it, it's almost like we make time to eat, we make time to shower, we make time to work out, and we should make time to grieve. As you get more nuanced in your grief journey, you can decide if you want to put on that Phil Collins song that you know is going to break you, or Chicago, or you know, or start looking at pictures. And there's a time and a place for
Ghost
that.
For me, the Ghost.
Oh, Ghost, God. Oh, God, all of it, and or me at night just cutting by like looking through the iPhone at every memory that I ever had, or the kids when they were little with him. But I've learned now that I almost enjoy those moments where I'm crying in the car or I'm sad because I feel so much better after. Mm-hmm. And I learned that by watching my kids. And if you do have kids that are grieving, mine were 9 and 12, but you'll watch their grief is very short and it's quick. And it's actually really cool to watch because they get in and out of it very quickly because no one's ever told them that they're supposed to be happy or supposed to be sad. So they're still in that childlike way of kind of sobbing and then going out with their friends. So I've learned that maybe as adults, because I think we get stuck in one or the other, like I'm okay. That part, that doesn't work, but neither does just like wallowing forever because you almost get addicted to the thinking, well, shit, my husband died. I should be really sad. I can't be out there like dry humping someone on the dance floor. You know, I'm supposed to be broken. The duality of grief is really interesting because unless you've been through it, you don't understand how you could be so grateful for where you are and so miserable at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so putting it in boxes of time, I love that. Just like you would a friend. And grief Absolutely. Is a friend. And you know, you sit down with them and you have coffee. And then you say, actually, it's time to go because I got to go to work. So that is something you're really good at, being in the emotion of what is at that time and then moving as quickly as possible to things that bring you joy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And having that whole rediscovery process, you know, I think for anybody who is going through grief right now or having this relationship with grief, really prioritizing all of the things that bring you joy. Yeah. And it would totally change. Like, you know, there were times where I forgot like what actually made me laugh. You know, and just going into that, whether it's creating a playlist, whether it's like searching on YouTube for like just funny clips. I mean, we have all of these things now. So like you can actually prioritize that and make that an exercise for you, you know? And I think that also, I've learned this recently and, you know, to be able to even, because grief comes through stages, right? We go through this period of anger and rage as well. And I don't know if you felt any of that anger, rage through your grief process.
Yeah. I was mostly sad just because I don't have anger very often. I wish I had more of it because I think anger moves to action. Sadness just makes you fall down. I wish I could be angrier. I'm working on that. Like feeling. That's not a big one for me, but it is for my daughter. So I watch somebody light up with grief, anger, and it's wonderful because it burns like fire, you know?
Oh yeah. To be able to like, you know, have a little container and to throw things or to crumple up paper and to step on it and to have a whole ritual of literally moving those emotions from our body, you know, and we've talked about like, you know, like different ways to like get it out, whether it's shamanic shaking,
dancing is the answer. Getting, I mean, I have danced in my bra and underwear and I don't even shut the curtains for the neighbors. I say, you know, lucky them if they get to see this white 45-year-old body. But I mean, music is a great healer, really loud. Like I listen to Pink, I Am Here.
Yes.
More often than anybody should.
Oh my God.
Or hip hop or something that reminds you were someone before hell hit you.
Yes.
You know, some hip hop song from middle school or the 90s.
Totally. There are like rage playlists, you know, wasn't there like Rage Against the Machine or something like that?
For sure.
But like, you know, heavy metal and take a pillow and just start banging it somewhere and just to be okay surrendering and not judging yourself for getting in that full act of letting go. Because like you said, I mean, that it's a whole release and to release all of that, you totally feel better.
We only have a little bit of time. Tell me how you connect to your parents and your brother now.
Ooh, you know, I feel like it's changed over the years. I have with, you know, and especially having had two small kids in the last like 4 years, some of the ways that I've actually connected with, you know, with them has been through psychedelic experiences and through, you know, plant medicine and psilocybin. And I know, you know, obviously there's lots of clinical trials, studies and everything, and that could be a whole different episode. And now it's honestly through prayer, it's through meditation, it's through, like mostly in stillness and being.
Me too.
And now it actually comes through when I'm talking to my kids about them because my son is about 3.5 and
I have chills.
And now it's like, I can share that, you know, with him. And he's like, so who was, you know, Dada, cause that's what they would call him, or actually no, Nani and Nana. Yeah. So that's what they would call him. So, or he would call them. So that's where I'm at this phase.
Yeah. I think knowing that we all can reconnect in some ways, and just like any relationship, there's times in your life where they're closer to you and times in your life where you're like, they're a little bit in the background, depending on what relationships or what space you're in. if they had to say one thing about your life, and it wouldn't be that they would want you to be happy, because we already know that, but what would they be most impressed? What would your dad and mom want you to know?
I think that this has been the best journey and adventurous ride, and you know, to fully surrender, because this is exactly where you're supposed to be in all the ways.
Yeah. And you live that, more than anybody I know. And when you think about your brother, what's your favorite memory of him?
Oh my gosh. You know, it's interesting. I've met my brother's energy and soul through other people throughout the years that I've gotten so close with. And it's crazy. It's interesting. And a lot of my very close family friends, they'd say now that they're like, you know, Ari, my son, has a lot of my brother's tendencies. DJ, that was his name, yeah. DJ. And so, you know, for DJ was just, he was a goofball and he was very much like the class clown. He made everyone laugh. And I have really close, you know, male friends who embody that for sure, 100%, yep. Who are also Aquarii, just like he was. Mm-hmm. And so it's just fascinating how, you know, his energy still lives on in a lot of the people that I'm very, very close to.
Yeah.
But I would say is his humor for sure.
And there is a lightness and a free way of walking through the world that has been inspiring for me. So I hope everybody that listened today knows that, you know, there can be great, great tragedy, and there's so many stories around it. But there's so much hope and so much good and so much laughter and so much fun to have still for those of us that are still walking around in the physical realm, which I just think is impressive. And I believe wherever the people went, they're doing great. So we best go on and do great in their honor while we're still here, because I know it will be a blink. And I'm so grateful for you. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. And thank you, Neetha. I love you dearly.
Love you.
Thank you for listening. And remember, keep going. It gets better.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.